Okay, right now the children are dismissed to go up to their Sunday school rooms. It's on the fourth and fifth floor, right upstairs. So please open your Bibles. Now, sometimes there's two kinds of Bibles in the pew. You want this one. It says English Standard Version. That's the version we'll be using. And turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll turn there together. Ephesians chapter 6. It's on page 979. Page 979. If you can't find a Bible, we also have the scripture up on the PowerPoint. And we've been in a series going through Ephesians. It's called Why Holiness Matters. And right now we've come to the last chapter of Ephesians. And last 2 weeks we talked about the relationship between husbands and wives. And this week and next week we'll talk about the relationship between parents and children. And then we'll keep going, and we're almost done with the book. Okay, so it's Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. You say, thanks be to God. Okay, at least again, this is the word of the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is your word. Lord, you wrote it. By your Holy Spirit, you inspired the words of the Bible, and every one of them is true and good and is profitable to us as your children. Lord, in that same Spirit, illumines the word to our hearts. And Lord, that's what we ask right now this morning, that by your Spirit, that you would teach us your word, teach us your ways, help us to know what it means to honor our father and mother. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to tell you a couple stories. When I graduated from college, my wife and I, and right after we graduated, we became interns with a student fellowship group. It's called CCF, the Chinese Christian Fellowship. And one of the first events we did with the Chinese Christian Fellowship was to go on a fall retreat. And retreats are great when you're in college. And so we all drove out to the countryside, and we stayed in this beautiful camp area that had a nice big log meeting place and cabins. And the topic, actually, for that retreat was, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? And I just remember vividly one discussion. It was, you know, we had had dinner, it was an evening talk, and then a bunch of us were out on the porch. And one of the students, you know, they're all American-born Chinese, or they're Chinese from Taiwan or China, different places, studying at the university. And one of them, he's a senior, about to graduate, and he said, you know, my parents want me to go to medical school. And I don't want to go to medical school. I don't really feel like that's what God is calling me to do. And he said, I don't know what to do. Do I obey my parents and do what they ask and go to medical school, or do I try to find God's will for my life and follow what I feel God is leading me to do? And at the time, as a young Westerner, I said, don't listen to your parents, you know, just do what you want. What kind of question is that? But I don't think it's actually that easy anymore. Another story is after about 2 years later, I came to Taiwan. I'm studying Chinese. And I had this Korean classmate, and you know, maybe she shouldn't have told us this story, but she told me, so I'm going to tell you. No names. Okay. So, sorry, this microphone. She's a Korean student, and her husband was Korean, and they're in Taiwan working, and she's studying. And this, my classmate's husband, had taken out a loan that they could not afford so that he could send money to his parents in Korea. Okay, now, they didn't need the money. Okay, they were perfectly comfortable. They had a fine life. But they wanted to be able to go traveling in Europe. And so this husband, he took out a loan. It put him and his wife in a very difficult financial situation so that he could send money to his parents. And he felt that this was the way that he ought to honor his mom and dad. And this my classmate, it almost ruined their marriage. You know, she almost left him because of this. She didn't tell him. Or he didn't tell her. Third story is after coming up here to Taipei, I was at the seminary, and I don't think this was a story of anyone at the seminary, but I just heard it in those circles. There was a Christian, you know, Taiwanese couple. They were married adults, Christians, and they wanted to have children. And they couldn't have children. They were infertile. They had tried different things, and they weren't able to have children. So they decided, well, we will adopt. We'd love to adopt a child. And so they were going through the process, and, you know, they told their parents, and their parents forbid it. They said, you may not adopt a child. And so what do? They didn't adopt the child. And I think that's a sad story. But I don't want to start off on such a sad note. But the reason I tell you these stories is because, you know, we come to this passage, and it says, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. And it kind of seems simple when we first look at it, but all of these stories illustrate that this passage has such practical and profound implications for our lives and the questions that we answer and the decisions that we make in life. So it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. And so as soon as you start applying this verse to different scenarios in life, all kinds of questions start to pop up. Well, what does it look like to honor your parents when you're a grown adult? What if your parents ask you to do something that you don't want to do? What if you have bad parents? You know, what if your relationship with your parents is a disaster for whatever reason, and you're not even talking to each other? How do you honor them? You know, what if you are here in Taiwan, you're building your career, or you're a student here in Taiwan studying, and your parents ask you to come back to your home country? And, you know, what happens when our parents' desires sometimes seem to conflict with what God is calling us to do, or obedience to God? And so Paul is the writer of the book of Ephesians, and we come to this passage, and he just wants to get super practical. Okay, so the first couple of chapters, it was the magnificence of God and salvation through Christ and the church and all these magnificent things. And then we get to this passage last week, the husband-wife relationship, and now we're still in the home, the relationship between parent and child. And Paul wants to bring this theology down to earth, because this is where the rubber meets the road. It's a phrase. It just means this is where it matters. This is where we live out our theology, is in the everyday relationships of the home. And so Christianity is not this, you know, mystical. It is in some ways. It's super spiritual in some ways, but it's not separated from our everyday lives. Hey, Christianity is about life and knowing God and what it looks like to live in this world that God has made. And so this verse, this passage that we're looking at this morning, this is God's wisdom for his people. This is his wisdom for us this morning as his children of how we are to live. And so this Sunday, we're going to focus on the relationship that we have to our parents. And because Paul starts with that. And then next Sunday, we're going to talk about parenting and how to bring up our kids. Now, I just want to say, now, if you're single, you still have to come next week. Okay. I mean, should I tell them what I'm going to do? No, you should come. It'll help you. So now we're going to talk about our relationship to our parents, because we are their children. Okay, so there are three things we're going to talk about. I actually did slides today. Okay. Three main things we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to look at. One, what does it mean to honor our parents? Two, why does God require us to honor our parents? And three, how can we do it? What are some practical ways we can honor our parents? Okay, so the what of the command, the why of the command, and the how of the command. Okay. So first, what does it mean to honor our parents? What does it mean to honor our parents? So notice the opening words of verse 1, if you have your Bible still open. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, so right off, God is giving us a super clear understanding of what he expects of children. And next week, we're going to talk about why that's helpful for parents. But for this morning, you know, what does God expect parents to do? What does God expect parents to do? Our children, I'm sorry. No wonder you're not answering. What does God expect children to do? Obey, right? Obey. Which means what in the Greek? Obey. It just means obey. It means do what your parents, thanks, young, do what your parents tell you to do. That's what it means. Now, when Paul uses this word children, though, it's a word that actually means non-adults. So we're talking to kids. He's talking about, right here in verse 1, he's talking about kids, not grown-ups. Now, some of you have overbearing parents. You know, they're 65, you're 30. And, you know, mom pulls out the verse, and she's like, you know, I was reading this morning in Ephesians, and it says, you have to obey me, right? So what do you think? Is that right? No. Okay. It's not right, because you say, mom, the Greek word here is actually not for adults, it's for children. It's for those who are growing up, who are still under their parents' authority in the home. Okay, it's for children like mine. I have four kids, 6, 4, 2, newborn. So every other year, a new kid shows up in my house. And verse 1 is talking about them, and it's talking about if I shouldn't have sent the kids up to Sunday school. It's talking, you know, parents are like, why did you send the kids up to Sunday school when we talk about obeying your parents? But if there are some youth here, it's still talking about you too, okay? If you're still living under your parents' authority, you're in the home, they're supporting you, you are their children, and Paul is talking to you. But, of course, all of us, in a sense, are children, right? Every one of us has been a child. You know, we all have a mother, or, you know, even if they pass away, we've all been born. Okay, we all have parents. And so no matter how old you are a child of somebody. Of course, in this case, you know, as we said, Paul's not talking to children in general. Like, all of us are children, so this applies to all of us. He's talking to kids in particular. And so he says, obey your parents. And the reason he says that is in verse 2. What's it say? Honor your father and mother. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. So what's going on here? We need to understand and we need to notice something that's critical to how we understand this text and therefore how we obey this text or how we're going to live it out. The commandment does not say, obey your father and mother. Meaning verse 2, the fifth commandment does not say, obey your father and mother. It's not anywhere in that commandment. It says, honor your father and mother. And it certainly does not say this. It does not say, show filial piety to your father and mother. The Chinese translation of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, is not right. Okay, I asked Pastor Paul Kong in the manners section. He said, yes, it's wrong. I wanted to make sure. Okay. The Chinese translation of the fifth commandment that Paul quotes here uses two characters, xiao jing, which means to show filial piety to your parents. So it says, 孝敬, 父母. And so by translating honor as 孝, what's happening is that we're taking the entire weight of the traditional understanding, the Chinese Confucianism, and we're dumping it into the fifth commandment. Now, this can create problems, as I've illustrated some of the ways. So Confucianism is good. It's God's common grace. I admire it in a lot of ways. And in Christianity, they both agree that we need to honor our parents. But the Bible's definition of honor is not the same as xiao. It's not the same as filial piety. And so it's not the same. And we need to look at what the Bible says honor means and not look to Confucianism for how we are to obey this command. Okay? So the fifth command does not say show filial piety to your parents. It does not even say obey your parents. Okay, now, why doesn't it say obey your parents? You might think that would be a reasonable, helpful thing for it to say, obey your parents. But it doesn't. Why not? It's because the fifth commandment is part of the Ten Commandments. Now, what are the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are the ten principles for how you are to build your life. Okay, this is what you're supposed to build your entire life on. So they are absolute principles that are true for everyone at all times and all places. They always apply. And so it doesn't say obey your parents because the Bible would not lay that down as an eternal absolute principle that we always have to do all the time because our relationship with our parents changes. Okay, our relationship with our parents is complex, right? Very complex. And it's always going through these tremendous changes. Obviously, as we grow from an infant to an adolescent to a grown adult. And so when you're a one-month-old little baby and you're a 50-year-old, you don't relate to your parents in the same way, right? You relate to your parents in totally different ways. And so in verse 1, Paul's talking to young children, and he's applying the principle of the fifth commandment that says honor your father and mother to how young children should relate to their parents. Because for a young child in the home, honor your father and mother and obey your parents are basically the same thing. Okay? So last year in the Sunday school, there was a part we did the Ten Commandments. We spent one day on it. So we taught the kids how to use your fingers, 1 through 10, to remember the Ten Commandments. So I'm going to tell you this one, and you will always be able to remember after this. Honor your father and mother. Which commandment is that? 5. How do you remember? Right? Because for a kid, honor your father and mother is yes, sir. It's obey your parents. But how about for us? What does this passage mean for those of us who have grown up out of the home? You know, when we're children, our parents are God to us. They are our authority, and God puts them in that position of authority so we can learn what it looks like to grow up under authority, what it looks like to live under God. But as verse 4 says, we're to grow up, and the parent is to teach the children in the Lord. And so we grow up under a parent's authority, but we grow out to be directly under God's authority. And so then it becomes a time when we are not under our parents' authority, but we're our own people, and we are under God's authority. And then, so what does this say to us? It says, honor. Okay, for us, it's not obey, it's honor. Honor your father and mother. Okay, and this is the principle. No matter who you are, no matter who your parents are, okay, that gets a little sticky, but it's true. No matter who your parents are, in every situation, every child, everywhere, under all circumstances, is to, not obey, honor their parents. That's God's command. And so what does it mean? What does it mean to honor our parents? The word actually means to esteem. That means to value something as precious, actually. And so the Bible talks about honor for parents as a decision. It's a moral decision. And it's a decision to treat your parents with dignity and provide long-term loyalty to them. That's what it means to honor your parents. Dignity and loyalty. You will revere them. You will always be their child. You will provide them loyalty. And so, as we said, honor is a moral choice, and has nothing to do with your feelings. Okay, let's talk about that. It has nothing to do so much with your feelings. Now, this is good. I think this can be very helpful and important. And the reason is this. Some parents are wonderful parents. I have wonderful parents. It's God's complete grace to me. I have wonderful parents. But not all parents are wonderful. I know that. Some parents are just mean, okay? Some parents are just mean, terrible parents. Some parents are abusive, you know, either, you know, emotionally, verbally, or even physically abusive. And so the Bible, God is not telling us, love your parents. Okay, now we have to love our enemies, right? I'm not saying that. Love your enemies, love everyone, but he's not saying feel love, warm affection for your parents. That's not the command. He's not saying, affection. He's not saying you have to show affection to your parents, because sometimes that would not be appropriate. Sometimes that would be wrong, actually, to show them affection. Sometimes it would be wrong to obey them. That's why he doesn't say obey. He says honor. So honor is something that we can always do. It's never wrong to honor our parents, no matter who they are. Okay, so that is all. What does it mean to honor our parents? And I know that was kind of a lot, but I think there's a lot of stuff we have to understand from what this verse is saying, okay? So now let's go on to the next point. So that's the next slide, too, just to help you out. Okay, why God wants us to obey our parents. Now this, I'm not going to take quite as long on this part. Let's go back to the verse. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why do we honor parents? It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he says in verse 2, honor your father and mother. Okay, so simply put, there is a divine commandment that says that children are to obey their parents. So this is God's. So why do we do it? Because God commands it. Basically, it's like that. This is God's heart for his people. This is God's will for your life. What's God's will for your life? Honor your parents. That's what it is. He tells us. This is God's heart for us. It's his will. How to live as his people. And then he goes on to say, at the end of verse 2, you know, he says, honor your father and mother. And then he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. And then the promise is in verse 3. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. I was reading a commentary, and it said, it just made this observation, I just want to share it. This is the Star Trek benediction. Do you guys see the recent Star Trek? Yep, exactly. That comes from this thing, I can't do very well. This is actually Jewish. It comes from, the guy who wrote the series was a Jew, and he decided, the priests used to give the benediction like that or something, and it meant something in Hebrew, and the guy was like, that looks a little alien, so we're going to use it. And so what's the Star Trek benediction is, I don't actually know that well, was it like, live long and prosper? So it's the same. That's where you got it from the Bible, okay? Star Trek is biblical. Live long and prosper. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And so God is saying to us, this is what God is saying to us. I want you to honor your parents because it's right. It's right because I designed it this way. I designed the family. I designed the parent-child relationship. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Natural law, that's why all civilizations in the world all agree. Children, obey their parents. This is the way God has put on our hearts, his moral law. And this is his divine law. Obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. And then he says, if that's not enough for you, just to obey me, let me add this. It'll affect the quality of your life. I'm going to attach blessing and curse to this command. It will affect the way you live in this life. The general principle is that for children who obey and honor their parents, it goes well with them in this world. The quality of their life is better. You will live longer. Okay? And my wife and I tell this to my kids all the time. Like, all the time, every day. So the kids are running crazy. Stop being crazy. That's a bad command. I shouldn't say it like that. Whatever. Stop being crazy. I actually say it all the time. Stop being crazy. And then they're running around wild. They crash and they hurt themselves. So what do I say? You were being wild and you fell and you busted your head. Well, obey your mom and dad and it will go well for you. When you disobey, bad things happen. Seriously, I say this all the time. So that's a preview for next week. Parenting tip number one. I call it natural consequences. Disobey, bad things happen. It's the way God made the world. Proverbs 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. How many times has your parents, especially your mom, said, please be careful, please don't do that? Lots, right? They say it all the time. And what do? We do it anyway, right? We do it anyway. God calls us to obey because it's right and he commands it. And then when we live out God's command for us, God is awesome like this. He further adds his blessing and rewards us for our faithfulness. So that's why God wants us to honor our parents. Lastly and thirdly, how? How can we honor our parents? And here I want to talk about a few practical ways that we can obey this command. They're not necessarily exactly from the text, but I think that this works. How can we honor our parents? Practical. One, find the culturally appropriate way. We can honor our parents by finding the culturally appropriate way. Now, there are all sorts of ways to honor our parents. Okay, let's just think of a couple. It's their birthday. Remember their birthday, right? It's obvious. Chinese parents love dinners. Get together with your parents, have a dinner. Sit them in the seat of honor. Honor them. Call them, even when you don't feel like it. Do you all see the MRT? Down in the MRT, they have this public service announcement, and it's got this young woman. It's like, have you called your parents? Have you seen that? It's down there. Go down. It's in, like, I think this one. So call your parents. We can show respect to them by the way we listen. When we're adults, we don't have to obey, and we don't have to always listen to what they say, but we can respect them by listening. And actually, the older I am, the more I think, if your parents, okay, not all, I'm sorry, most parents love their children, and most parents want the best for their children. And so your parents still want the best for you, and they want to give you advice. They think they know something. It might not be true, but they think they do. And they're going to tell you, and listen respectfully. And maybe even, they are older. Weigh it. Maybe it's not something you haven't thought of. Maybe you really ought to do it. We need to consider that. So here, teaching. And there's all kinds of ways we can honor our parents, and it's different from every culture. So there's a well-known book in traditional Chinese culture. It's called The 24 Paragons of Filial Piety. You probably, if you're Chinese, you all know it. If you're Western, you have no idea what this is. But I was in studying Chinese, and we were studying the Analects, and my teacher loved to tell us these stories, because he's very Confucian, in a good way. I've never forgotten this story. Okay, it's a story of, I don't know the tones, Wu Meng, it's the kid's name. So it was in the Jin Dynasty, there was this exemplary son named Wu Meng or something. He was born to a poor family. It was so poor that they could not afford a mosquito net. And so when the sting of the mosquitoes made it difficult for his father to sleep, Umong took off his shirt, sat by his parents' bed, and let the mosquitoes bite him. And he never swatted them away, so that the mosquitoes had no reason to leave him and go bite his parents. The parents did not command him to do that, so it's not child abuse. He did it. He was just a good son. He took off his shirt. He said, "Bite me." And so his parents didn't know that's a way to honor your parents. That's a culturally appropriate way. What do we do in the U.S.? It's Mother's Day. What do you do? Send a Hallmark card. Mothers love those cards. Which just goes to show that customs differ. And what communicates honor in one culture might not communicate honor in another. You know, if you're a student from Indonesia and you're a student from Africa, African student goes to visit your Indonesian parents, they try to show them honor. It might not communicate honor. And we all need to do it in our own way. Everyone likes to be called. So call your parents. But it really comes down to the heart. It comes down to the heart, and just that, you know, you have to ask the question. Sometimes it's a hard question to ask. How can I honor my parents? Has that question ever crossed your mind? Not usually. How today can I honor my mom, my dad? And we got to find the culturally appropriate ways to do it. So that's number one. Number two, give them as much credit as you can. We honor our parents by giving them as much credit as you can for any good that they have given you. Now, what I mean is this. There's this proverb that talks about a child who honors their parents, and it says that the honor that this child brings to their parents is a comfort to them and a delight to their heart. Honor comforts and delights the heart of a parent. And I think this is where we get this idea of taking pride in our children. Okay, so I like to talk about my daughter when I preach. My daughter Ellie is in the first grade, and she's at a local school, Longan Guoshao, the local elementary school. And she's first grade, she's learning Bupa Mufa. Her tones and pronunciation are so much better than mine, it's embarrassing. Now, my Chinese is still better, I know more words, but she sounds better. So she's first grade, the first test. I strongly dislike tests. Quizzes, anything of the sort. I'll write a paper any day of the week. Don't give me a test. My daughter loves tests because we play video games, like some, not a lot, but on the iPad we have some video games, and she's very competitive. She loves to get the highest score, and she will spend a long time, if we let her, continually, again, trying to get the highest score she can. So she gets to school. This is cool. What's a test? I get to try to get the highest score I can. Fun. Yeah, no, I don't think so. So she took the first test, and she got like a 96 or a 98, really high grade. Okay, I know it's not a big deal. Okay, it's first grade. It's the first test. Probably all the kids got an A. But my heart was filled with delight. Like, so really. Because, you know, I didn't help her with the test. I didn't get the high grade on the test. She did. But in some way, it reflects on me. Because I think it's this truth that if my daughter or my son looks beautiful and good in the eyes of the world, that she's telling the world what I am like. And on the other hand, if my son or daughter looks like a fool in the eyes of the world, they're also telling the world what I am like. And so, you know, some children, you see this, they'll be mad at their parents. So what do? And sometimes justly mad at their parents. Parents mess up. Parent feels injustice. I am mad at my parents. I am going to do poorly in school. I am willing to not do well. I am willing to look bad in front of everyone. I don't care because I want to make my parents, I want to hurt my parents. And it works. It hurts the parents. And it's because, you know, our hearts are bound up in our children. And it's part of the mystery of how God created the parent-child relationship. And we need to realize that. That's my point. We need to realize and remember the need for our parents to see ourselves, themselves in us. Sorry. We need to remember and honor the need for our parents to see themselves in us. And we oppose our parents, we don't listen to our parents, and so we need to, as much as possible then, do this. We need to give them credit where we can. Okay, and so you could have a dad who has just been incredibly ungenerous to you growing up. And you can say to him this, you know, Dad, everything I ever learned about saving money, I learned from you. That is one thing that you taught me that I really appreciate. And you could have a relationship with your father that if you said that to him, he would fall on the floor. And that's maybe why you should do it, because he'll fall on the floor. Just kidding. But it's so important to acknowledge something of them in you. And that's how you can honor them. You know, you can say to them, this is what you are like. This is the good that you have given me. And you don't have to be afraid to tell them that. You know, sometimes we think if we honor our parents, especially if we have a bad relationship with our parents, it puts us back under them. It's not. It's not true. It doesn't put you under them. You know, you could think, I've tried my whole life to get free from my parents. You can still honor them. It's not going to put you under them. You can honor them. And no, it could completely revitalize your relationship with your parents because these words of encouragement, these words of honor are so powerful. They're powerful. And it honors God. This is more importantly, it honors God when we honor our parents. That's the second way to honor them. Now, the third, and this is the final thing. Know your true Heavenly Father. We can honor our parents by knowing our true Heavenly Father. And this is the most important thing that I want to say this morning. Okay? And it's this. We can only be truly free to honor our father and mother when we are believing the gospel. We are only truly free to honor our father and our mother when we are believing the gospel. Because what Paul says is this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that does not mean only obey your parents if they're Christians. Some people might think that. It's not parents in the Lord. Only obey your parents who are in the Lord. No, no, no. It's only obey your parents. In the Lord points to obey. Obey in the Lord. Obey in the Lord. So what he's saying is we can only truly obey our parents. We're only going to obey God's command to honor our father and mother when we are believing and living out of the gospel. And it means that our relationship with our parents will be radically transformed. And the way that this relationship can be radically transformed is if we have a personal relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. And this is why. If we are honest with ourselves, and if you just give this a moment of thought, you will realize that we fail to obey God's command to honor our father and mother. And there are two ways that we can mess this up. And I like to think of the horse. Okay, think of the horse with me. There are two ways to fall off a horse. You can fall off on the right, you can fall off on the left. Right? You can fall off, okay, but just for argument's sake, there's two ways to fall off a horse. It's probably more. If you fall off on the right, it's like this. We disobey the command to honor our parents by overly revering them and obeying them to the point where they become an idol in our lives, meaning we look to them for our love and our approval instead of looking to God for our love and approval. So we need to repent of loving our father and mother more than Jesus. Now we can also fall off on the other side of the horse. We can just flat out fail to honor our father and mother. We can disobey them when we're young. We can dishonor them when we're old. We can neglect them. We cannot give them the respect and dignity that God commands us. And so we need to repent for dishonoring our parents. Now, to take the metaphor a step further, either way we fall off, we're lying on the ground. And sometimes we can fall off both sides. Now, think about the drunken cowboy. Just stick with me. The drunken cowboy will fall off his horse on the right side, and then what happens? He gets back on and falls off on the other side. Okay? We do that too. We disobey both ways. You know, we could be idolizing our parents. We can be looking to them for approval and love, and we realize they can't give it to us, so what do? We start disobeying them. Okay, we fall off on this side, then we fall off on the other side. And so, what do we need? Gospel balance. Okay, so we need to be balancing up on the horse, and we're going to call this gospel balance. And it's only when we're believing the gospel that we can honor God, that we can obey our father and mother and not fall off to the right or left. And this is why this is the way it works. This is the way all the commands work and how they all point to Jesus. In this particular case, this is how it works. The command. What's the command? Honor your father and mother. Us. What do? We don't do it. We're sinners. We fail to obey the command. But who does it? Jesus. Jesus obeyed this command perfectly. Look at his life recorded in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it says that as a child, Jesus obeyed his parents. Okay, the verse says, you know, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus obeyed his parents. What else? He obeyed his heavenly Father. Jesus says, I always obey the will of my Father in heaven. He says, I have not come down. This is in John chapter 6. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus always obeyed his heavenly Father. And then on the cross, the last deed as the eldest son was to provide for his mother after his death. And in all of this, Jesus earned the love and approval of his heavenly Father. And what did God say of Jesus? He said, you are my son whom I love. In you, I am well pleased. Love and approval. You are my son whom I love. In you, I am well pleased. Jesus was the true filial son. Jesus obeyed perfectly. And then on the cross, Jesus suffered the ultimate disapproval of his heavenly Father as he died for every single way, action, and thought that we will disobey our parents so that we could have the unconditional love and approval of God, our heavenly Father. That's what it means to be in the Lord. And it changes everything. It totally revolutionizes our relationship with our parents. Because all of us, every single one of us, every human being was created by God to have and to experience Father love. What is Father love? Do you know what that is? Unconditional love. It's a love that you can be absolutely sure of no matter what. A love that you can be absolutely sure of. Unconditional acceptance. Unconditional approval. Unconditional love. But most parents are unable to give that to their children. We can't do it, even if we try. Okay, as a dad, I try to love my kids unconditionally, but I fail at it much of the time. Okay, and I hope, you know, I pray that not all the things I do are bad, of course, but I pray that those ways that I do love my child unconditionally, that's what will stick with them, and I pray that all the ways I fail to love them unconditionally will not shape them whatsoever. And it's when I fail to love my kids unconditionally that I send them the message that I disapprove of them, that they've disappointed me in some way. And so as children, we all learn that we need to earn our parents' approval by obeying them, by doing things that please them. But what we're longing for in our hearts, every one of us, what we're searching for is unconditional love. And only God the Father can give us unconditional love. And so the only way to truly honor your parents is if you are free to displease them. Do you understand that? Think about that. The only way to truly honor your parents is if you are free to displease them. And the way to be free to displease them is that you go get what you've always wanted from your parents, you go and get it from God. And you stop blaming your parents for not being able to be God to you. And it's the only way that you can get this true Father love. The only way you can get it is to go to the Heavenly Father. Because God's love is unconditional, completely unconditional. And the mark of having real father love is that you suddenly realize for the first time that you have nothing to prove. Okay? You have nothing to earn. You have nothing to seek in your parents. You don't have to earn their approval. You no longer have that deep driving need that all of us have to please our parents and win their approval. And the day that you know that is the day that your relationship with your parents will be completely transformed. Because of the day that you will stop letting them be God in your life, and it's the day that you'll be able to finally say, I've met the real Father. I have His unconditional approval. I don't need to live up to my parents' expectations because I'm accepted by my Heavenly Father. Is that true of you? Can you say that? Have you met the real Heavenly Father? Have you experienced the Father's love like that? Unconditional love. It says, honor your father and mother, for this is right. And the only way to honor your parents is to receive the unconditional love of God the Father. So go to the real Father. That's what I have to say to you this morning. Go to the real Father. And Jesus Christ gives us the power to become sons of God. It says, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Let's pray. Unconditional love. Father, that's what You give us. Lord, we want that. Our hearts need that. Our hearts will never be satisfied until we know You. You are a true Heavenly Father. And Lord, the only way we can obey this command, the only way we cannot over-revere our parents, the only way we can stop disobeying, dishonoring our parents, is that when we're believing and trusting in Christ as our righteousness. Lord, we thank You for the gospel. Lord, we help us to, as Your children, in order to honor You, that You would help us know how to honor and obey our parents. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.